This day is more to me than the anniversary of our attack upon the Redan. At the very moment when we were standing under arms in the dark.
To the west of the quarries, I remember, interrupted Such with a deep breath. How should one forget?
At that very moment Harry was born in this house. I thought, therefore, that if you did not object, he might join us tonight. He happens to be at home. He will, of course, enter the service, and he might learn something, perhaps, which afterwards will be of use. One never knows.
By all means, said Such with alacrity, for since his visits to General Feversham were limited to the occasion of these anniversary dinners, he had never yet seen Harry Feversham. Such had for many years been puzzled as to the qualities in General Feversham which had attracted Muriel Graham, a woman as remarkable for the refinement of her intellect as for the beauty of her person, and he could never find an explanation. He had to be content with his knowledge that, for some mysterious reason, she had married this man so much older than herself, and so unlike to her in character. Personal courage and an indomitable self-confidence were the chief, indeed the only qualities which sprang to light in General Feversham. Lieutenant Such went back in thought over 20 years as he sat on his garden chair, to a time before he had taken part, as an officer of the Naval Brigade, in that unsuccessful onslaught on the Redan. He remembered a season in London to which he had come fresh from the China Station, and he was curious to see Harry Feversham. He did not admit that it was more than the natural curiosity of a man who, disabled in comparative youth, had made a hobby out of the study of human nature. He was interested to see whether the lad took after his mother or his father, that was all. So that night, Harry Feversham took a place at the dinner table and listened to the stories which his elders told, while Lieutenant Such watched him. The stories were all of that dark winter in the Crimea, and a fresh story was always in the telling before its predecessor was ended. They were stories of death, of hazardous exploits, of the pinch of famine and the chill of snow. But they were told in clipped words and with a matter-of-fact tone, as though the men who related them were only conscious of them as far-off things. And there was seldom a comment more pronounced than a mere, "That's curious," or an exclamation more significant than a laugh. But Harry Feversham sat listening, as though the incidents thus carelessly narrated were happening actually at that moment and within the walls of that room. His dark eyes, the eyes of his mother, turned with each story from speaker to speaker, and waited wide open and fixed until the last word was spoken. He listened fascinated and enthralled, and so vividly did the changes of expression shoot and quiver across his face that it seemed to Such the lad must actually hear the drone of bullets in the air, actually resist the stunning shock of a charge, actually ride down in the thick of a squadron to where guns screeched out a tongue of flame from a fog. Once, a major of artillery spoke of the suspense of the hours between the parading of the troops before a battle and the first command to advance, and Harry's shoulders worked under the intolerable strain of those lagging minutes. But he did more than work his shoulders. He threw a single furtive, wavering glance backwards, and Lieutenant Such was startled, and indeed more than startled. He was pained. For this, after all, was Muriel Graham's boy. The look was too familiar a one to Such. He had seen it on the faces of recruits during their first experience of a battle too often for him to misunderstand it. And one picture in particular rose before his mind. An advancing square at Inkerman, and a tall, big soldier rushing forward from the line in the eagerness of his attack, and then stopping suddenly, as though he suddenly understood that he was alone, and had to meet alone the charge of a mounted Cossack. Such remembered very clearly the fatal wavering glance which the big soldier had thrown backwards towards his companions, a glance accompanied by a queer, sickly smile. He remembered, too, with equal vividness, its consequence. For though the soldier carried a loaded musket and a bayonet locked to the muzzle, he had, without an effort of self-defence, received the Cossack's lance thrust in his throat. Such glanced hurriedly about the table, afraid that General Feversham, or that some one of his guests, should have remarked the same look and the same smile upon Harry's face. But no one had eyes for the lad. Each visitor was waiting too eagerly for an opportunity to tell a story of his own. Such drew a breath of relief and turned to Harry. But the boy was sitting with his elbows on the cloth, and his head propped between his hands, lost to the glare of the room and its glitter of silver, constructing again out of the swift success.